Okay, hello everybody. I'll probably move away from the speaker just a little bit. My name is Mark Imaszewski, and welcome to a session here about accelerating Windows 10 deployments through telemetry-driven insights using Upgrade Analytics. That's a little bit of a mouthful. I'll introduce this and make it a little easier to grasp. So I work on the Windows team in the compatibility group, and we deal with making the operating system as easy from a compatibility perspective as possible. And we know this is super important for enterprise customers because for all of you, if we break an application, that's a big pain point. In order to get a little bit of an overview here, what the audience looks like, who of you works on Windows clients in IT? Okay, most of you. Who's done a Windows 7 rollout? Very cool. And last question, does anybody know OMS, the Operations Management Suite? And the keynote from this morning doesn't count. Okay, so that's probably a new technology, and that's what I'm going to touch on a little bit. As I said, I work in the compatibility team. I have a little bit of a background in Windows deployment. I used to work for Microsoft Consulting Services in Germany. Actually, funny coincidence, my project manager from the customer side from back in the day is in the audience here today. So it's funny to come to this full circle after 5 years, basically. In terms of compatibility in Windows 10, I figured I would start sharing the good news. Windows 10 deployment worked really well, 350 million in the ecosystem as of August. This morning we shared it's actually 400 million deployed systems on monthly active users in the entire ecosystem. 52 million in business, so there's significant installed base there already. And then a bunch of people are saying, hey, compatibility in Windows 10 is great. On the other side, we understand that from an enterprise perspective, it's great to have a highly compatible OS, but there's also some due diligence involved, right? There are certain things that absolutely cannot break so that you can run your business. And this is where we come in with our solution here. Another thing that I wanted to touch on that always comes up when you're talking about compatibility is this Windows as a service cadence. And this got discussed a little bit today in the general session. And the idea basically is we ship Windows as early as possible to enable something my director an hour ago called co-engineering. Basically, we take very early feedback from insiders. And what that allows us to do through our insider population is we actually get this incredible number of different hardware and software combinations in the ecosystem. And insiders are also a very vocal bunch. They will voice their opinion when something doesn't work the way they would like it to work. And we actually listen to it. The compare team is mining a lot of that feedback. Back when I was on that task, I think we were looking at about 30% of the total volume of insider feedback was about applications and devices, third party. And we go through a lot of that. We've actually evolved our processes quite a bit. So whenever you file feedback, you have the option to attach some data that allows us to debug this a little easier, or at least gives us the information we need in order to have a chance of reproducing the issue. That's always the problem with the insider population. But the other thing that you've probably heard is Windows is moving to this Windows as a service paradigm where we ship, or we're targeting to ship about 2 releases a year. And it basically goes through the insider phase and you see Windows being built. At one point in time, it goes out to the consumer ecosystem. And at that point in time, we recommend you start deploying pilot machines in your company. And then about 4 months later, it gets declared ready for business. We call it current branch for business at that point in time, and that's when the mass rollouts begin. For us as the compatibility team, you know, internally the work starts a little bit earlier because we want to make sure insiders have a great experience, and we basically need to be ready on day one, right? Whenever this happens, Windows goes out in the public to the consumer ecosystem, and for those people, we are kind of the IT department. We try to make sure that everything works for them. The way we do that is actually with opt-in data, or we like to call it telemetry every once in a while. So insiders opt in to share feedback and data about their systems. We get this data, we aggregate it up, and we reason over these aggregates to make sure we're testing the right applications, we're engaging with the right ISVs, et cetera. And then about a year ago, we said, hey, this is great technology that may also be very, very useful for enterprise customers. Can we make this data available to enterprise customers early in the process so that before you even start with your Windows 10 project, you can get at least an overview about the applications that you have installed in your ecosystem, issues that might be known to Microsoft support statements, et cetera. And I'll get into that in a second. The one thing that we recommend is when you think about rolling out Windows 10 from a compatibility perspective, you want to think about a risk-balanced approach to compatibility. You'll have to focus your testing on the stuff that really matters while being agile and taking the feedback about the things that are not widely deployed and then react to these issues. In the Windows Insider session today, one of my colleagues said that the number of different possible combinations of software and hardware that we see in the insider population is larger than the number of observable atoms in the universe. We all know you guys have limited budget for making your testing happen, so what's really important is you want to focus on the stuff that matters. So the approach that we're recommending is similar to what we've always said, right? You start with an application portfolio, you want to create it. The important thing is you want to maintain it. And in maintaining, in my opinion, means you really want to know which machine an application is installed on. You don't want this entry in the catalog from your architecture department that says, hey, we have the tool X. Ideally, you want to know these machines are using solution X, and probably you even want to know these users are using that, if you can, from a privacy perspective. Next thing is you want to keep your inventory prioritized. You want to know at every point in time what's critical. You have a little framework here where we say, okay, there are business critical applications, which are the ones that you will proactively look at for sure. You have managed applications, stuff that the IT department owns, where you probably may or may not have an application owner for those. You have apps that you somehow support, best effort basis. You have apps that are actively unsupported, but you still want to know about those because you want to drive awareness that there is a large amount of shadow IT somewhere. And then there are probably even applications that you do not want. Once you have that, you obviously go and validate business critical applications, and then you can actually leverage a pilot for a broader rollout. And this sounds great on paper. The question always is, how do you make this happen in practicality? Because everybody is busy operating an IT environment. So you guys probably don't have a lot of time creating super fancy SQL databases to figure out what are my deployment targets, et cetera. So our approach for that is a new product or a new service that we call Windows Update and Upgrade Analytics, excuse me. And that's a service that we build on top of the Operations Management Suite, OMS. So we're basically a solution pack in OMS, or a solution. And the reason for us for doing this is that OMS is a super powerful platform for log analytics. So we figured we wouldn't bother building another log analytics platform or another platform for somebody to do user-based authentication, et cetera. We would just go into the data as well, directly. And the idea is you create your inventory, you identify issues, you can even discover web applications. We just recently integrated the IE Site Discovery Toolkit data into this because we know that that's very important, even though IE 11 is available on Win10. We'll give you all the information that we have about known issues, and if we know how to remediate them, we give that information. And then at the very end, you can use this data to drive your deployment. We tell you which machines are ready. I figured I would jump into demos because it's always the most interesting part. So with that, let's get to a demo. This is an OMS operations management workspace, and you see these solutions here. There's one preview, which is what's currently shipped, and we have the Ignite version, which is going live sometime today. And as you can see, it's a standard OMS workspace. It looks a lot like Azure. It's not scary. You can sign up very quickly. I'll give you a link in a minute. And if you look at this tile here, this specific solution has data from about 13,000 machines. And those are machines within Microsoft, within MSIT, that remain on Windows 7, 8, and 8.1, mainly 8.1. And what you'll see here when we look into the data is that this ecosystem is actually super diverse because these machines pretty much exist for the sole purpose of support because MSIT has migrated to Windows 10 since we're actually on the anniversary update by and large. But these are the remaining systems that engineers are actively using to support customers with issues. So let's take a look at this upgrade analytics. What you'll notice is we built something here, we like to call it a workflow, and this is a big difference to previous solutions that we had, like the Application Compatibility Toolkit, where we just bombarded you with a lot of data like an inventory, but we didn't really tell you what to do with it. So we moved to this this model of providing a workflow which gives you a couple steps to work through, but you can drill through the data. The first group of steps we call prepare your environment. This is basically all about getting machines to send telemetry and then making sure that these machines are sending telemetry. So the way the telemetry sending works, people often ask, are you using an agent or are you agentless? The answer is we have a component in Windows, we call it internally the appraiser, which is creating an inventory of what's on your systems. In order to make this visible to enterprises, what we would need to do is we tag the data with an ID we call the commercial ID. It's just a standard GUI that we assign to every workspace. And that allows us to pipe the data through all of the different systems and make it available in these workspaces. And what you can see here is basically some overview, right? 13,000 machines sending data, 5,000 of the pool that initially was 5,000, have been upgraded to Windows 10 in the meantime. And you see up here 54,000 applications, which is probably a number you've seen before. And then we say, well, 52,700 out of these have actually such a low install count that we're not necessarily going to look at those. I'd like to start with the first insight here, and I'm going to zoom in a little bit. We talked about running a pilot, right? And the question that always comes up is, what are good target machines for a pilot? Which machines can I even pilot? The initial reaction is, let's pilot in IT, and that's great. The thing with IT is you have very tech-savvy people. You probably won't hear the feedback that you'll hear from your end-user population. People know how to help themselves. And probably you're also not using the applications that the field is using. So the one insight that we give here is, in the end-user world, we're already doing that. We're figuring out which machines have no known issues. And that's basically what we're transferring here to the enterprise, right? Out of the 13,000 machines, 4,000 are good pilot candidates. 1,400 have no known issues at all, and 2,500, at least one driver moves to an inbox driver. So those are all good pilot candidates. Not necessarily saying deploy to all of these, but you can drill through here, aggregate this up by OS version. Let's just say we want to go for a Windows 7 machine. And we give you information about these computers. I can put this in a table view as well. So we know what manufacturer, model, OS version, OS build, et cetera, you have. And this is something you could use, export it as a CSV, and use it as a target for whatever your deployment tool of choice is. Going back here, another step that you typically do after you've looked at your telemetry flowing in is you want to make sure to define the set of applications that you really want to look at. That's this next step here where we say prioritize applications. I'll just drill into the ones that I haven't reviewed yet. And this is basically the step where you make this determination whether an application is business critical or supported or not supported, et cetera. So you get a list of the applications here. We give you the install count. We sort it by install count. And we can actually tell you monthly active devices as well based on usage telemetry. So by doing that, you get an idea of how often an application is deployed and if it's actually being used. Very often, you have applications that are sitting in your ecosystem, but nobody's using them anymore. And you can kind of see this here as well. And then you get to go through and set your importance level for these applications. And the reason that's important is that kind of brings down the number of items that you want to review later. A little short on time here, I'll move forward. We have a longer session coming up on Wednesday, but I'll hit on a couple points here. The next step would be where you actually take this scoped down set of applications and review your issues. One bucket would be real issues where Microsoft knows or applications where Microsoft knows that there is an issue. And just take a look at what kind of thing we're seeing here. So we see that Intel WireEye, for example, is removed during upgrade due to compatibility issues. Well, it's good to know before you do the upgrade, right? Typically, this doesn't have a big impact. We know in the end user ecosystem it doesn't have an impact. That's why we're removing it in the first place, because a new driver comes down from Windows Update. In an enterprise scenario, though, you want to make sure that that works and that it has the right version of the driver or app. What you can do then is get a similar view here. You can reason through the applications and you make your upgrade decision in terms of, hey, I still need to review this. This is ready to upgrade, even though it gets removed, there's no problem, or I've mitigated it with my upgrade task sequence, for example. Or machines that have this thing can absolutely not upgrade at this point in time. And I'll show you how that comes in handy later. Another step that you then take is for the application that you've marked as business critical. There may be applications in there that we don't know of, because we as Microsoft obviously do not have insights into what you developed in-house. And there's probably things that you want to do. Let's take a look at the business critical applications here in this workspace. MSIT Help Desk, for example. Our IT department knows about. We as the compatibility department don't know a lot about it, because it's just another app for us. But we don't see any issues with this. Here's another one, Adobe Reader DC, obviously very common app. This is interesting, right? This is a commercial off-the-shelf app. We say the guidance is this application has been installed on at least 100,000 commercial devices. So commercial ecosystem, right? 35 million machines, at least 100,000 have this installed. Even though this is not as good as a support statement, it's still an indication that this application will most likely work in that ecosystem. And from here on out, you can actually drill through a website that we call Ready for Windows, where we consolidate all of this information. So you can see broken out by version, whether these minor versions are adopted. If Adobe decides to publish a support statement, they will do it in Ready for Windows, and it would actually show you this application is supported on Windows 10. So it's ready for Windows data. And then you can go through a similar exercise with your drivers as well. The thing that's important for us from that perspective is basically, is there driver coverage either inbox or on Windows Update, or do we not know of any driver? And then it's up to you to decide whether you will pull an OEM driver and put it into your deployment mechanism, or you use a Windows Update driver, et cetera. The important thing is we surface the drivers that are highly deployed and important, and then it's a decision that an IT pro can take. And then the final step here is, on a per computer basis now, we can tell you, hey, you have reviewed everything that makes up this computer, every application, every driver. In this case, it's ready. Or we'll tell you this one cannot upgrade, and you can actually drill in here and find out why. So this has 6 application issues. Let's just drill into and see what's happening. There are things that have not been reviewed. So you can get all this base data as to why this decision comes together. I think I'll hold my thunder on the IE stuff for the breakout session, which happens on Wednesday at 9, I believe. And just give you a couple takeaways. One of them is, this is our URL, aka.ms/upgradeanalytics. That will send us to will send you to our blog. We try to keep that as up to date as possible. Upgrade Analytics currently officially is in public preview state, which means that we're actively developing. Whenever we find something, we'll publish information about that in the blog. Since we're a service, the website, we can update whenever we need to. If there are client components that need updating, we'll talk about that in the blog. We also have an email address on the blog where you can give feedback, and we're doing what we call office hours, where we just get on a phone bridge for an hour a week. If you have any questions you would like answered in person, go ahead and come in there. The Ready for Windows data, there is a special portal for that called readyforwindows.com. If you just want to type in an application name and see how this application is deployed or supported, go ahead, do that. If you're an ISV or if you're publishing applications, please check out the Ready for Windows portal and see if you can get in there and publish a support statement. Very useful for all the IT pros, because then they already have that information. And then the third thing, if we have system integrators here in the room, we actually published a 2-day workshop called the Enterprise Compatibility Briefing, which you can get as part of the Accelerate program, or if you have MCS on site, they can also give you that workshop. And that talks a little more in depth about all the things we've learned about compatibility, different kinds of mitigations that are in place, et cetera. And we're planning to extend this to a full 4 or 5 day workshop within the next half year. First part focuses on the technical details, then the next 2 days are going to be around the process. How do I do my compatibility testing and deployment? And then there's a 5th day plan which talks about application modernization, which apps are good targets for modernization and how do I go about that. And with that, go ahead, question. Okay, so the question is, will this be an on-prem feature of Operations Manager? For Ops Manager on-prem, we currently don't have a plan. The way we're approaching it is, right now it's very hard to get it on-prem because we're connecting to so many services and different data points that we as Microsoft currently own. So we focus the development on the service side. I think the basis for that question is around privacy concerns. That's typically what we're hearing, right? Security and privacy is a reason to not go with the cloud, and that's something where we'd like to discussion. We want to understand a little more. For us, the current thing that we have on-prem is still Application Compatibility Toolkit. You can link it up and you can do your lookups and ready for Windows, but for right now we don't have a specific target of on-prem development of this thing. We believe it really lives and breathes from all the data. As you can see, for example, with the Ready for Windows data, right? If we don't see that these apps are installed in the commercial ecosystem, it's super hard for us to give people an indication that they're actually installed. So that's the design criteria there. But if there are specific concerns, let's talk and let's see if we find a solution. Any other questions? Okay, go ahead. So the question is, how do you deal with in-house developed applications? What we publish for that already is the compatibility cookbook. We actually updated that to Windows 10. We're working, there's a program called the WARP program. What it means escapes me right now, unfortunately. In conjunction with MSIT, we're working on providing a bunch of machines on Azure where you can do your testing and evaluation. And the other thing is people that develop applications are challenging us, what are the right test cases to run, right? So we're working on documenting that a little better and on documenting what we have seen internally. Just in general, for Win 10 and even for all the operating systems before it since Win 7, compatibility is an engineering goal, right? That means if you're using good practices, typically your app won't break. If it does, you know, special offer for everybody here, send us feedback through the blog and we can look into that. You know, in general, I think the best recommendation is if you're developing apps, get on the insider builds, stay on the insider builds and detect early if there are any issues, right? And then Cookbook will obviously document if there are any known patterns that are emerging, and that's about what you can do. Cool. We're out of time here. I'll be around for a couple of minutes if there are more questions in person. Otherwise, Wednesday we have a breakout. Thursday we have a rerun of this theater session. I'll also be at the Ask the Experts. So I hope to meet you there.